Today we're going to be learning the 93rd Psalm. It's a short one, 5 verses, but carries a wallop, if you would notice in a minute. If you look carefully, you will see that there is no ktovet. There is no title sentence. There's nothing here to indicate who the author is. There's nothing to indicate what kind of music this is supposed to be played with. Is it a shiel? Is it a mizmor? Furthermore, it doesn't have any kind of tefillah, no request, no prayer. In fact, it's nothing but an anthem singing the praises of God. These 5 verses divide themselves actually into 3 stanzas. If you look carefully, you will see that Aleph and Bet represent 1, Gimel and Daled a 2nd, and then Hey stands all on its own and culminates and brings it to, if you like, a crescendo. This Mizmor, according to the Malbim, gives us a sense of the Ribono Shel Olam's manifestation in nature, in history, and in Torah. Namely, that God shows himself, he reveals himself through the forces of natural law. He reveals himself through miracles that break and override natural law. But most importantly, he reveals himself through the Torah itself. And that, as you will soon see, is perhaps the most reliable and consistent of all of the manifestations, one that we can kind of rely on at all times and take it to the bank, because those promises are never changed. Those cannot be altered at any time. I want to look carefully, and we'll start with the very first line, Hashem Malach. But prior to beginning, let me point out that this is the Shir Shel Yom of Friday and has been incorporated in Kabbalat Shabbat. In Kabbalat Shabbat, it is read right after the 92nd Psalm, which is Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos, and then we say Hashem Malach Geud Lavesh. The reason this is important is because, in fact, it picks up some of the themes that are in the 92nd Psalm, though quite apparently it can stand very much on its own. Hashem Malach. And if you look carefully, you will see that that's past tense. I have a footnote here for you. Hashem Malach. And the reason I did this is because I wanted you to see that there's a lot of comparisons to be made between this 5-verse little poem and the one that you recite daily. Az Yashir Moshe Uvene Yisrael et Hashira Hazot. What then is the point of the comparison? Hashem Malach, God ruled or became monarch. At what point? When he dressed himself, when he cloaked himself, Bege'ut. Now, typically, the word Ga'ava, Geut, means pride, arrogance. But Go'e means override, higher than everyone else. So we would speak about waves that are cresting as waves that are Go'im. They're rising, rising, rising until they crash down. When something rises above all other things, those are called Geut. The Ribono Shel Olam cloaks himself. He shows himself in the ability to rise above and override natural law. When did that happen? When did he become king, as it were? He became king when we recognized him as such. For without a kingdom and without subjects that coronate him, regardless of one's power, one is not king. The Ribono Shel Olam remained immutable before time, before creation even. But he was not coronated until he broke the laws of nature, and at that time proved that he is both the creator of nature and more powerful than nature, and is not bound by the laws of nature. We saw that most vividly when the sea split. Furthermore, Lavash Hashem, God dressed himself, Oz Hitazar, and he girded himself with Oz. Malbim explains that Oz stands for the strength of natural laws that the Ribono Shel Olam put on the world that he created. The laws that can be discovered through the study of physics, through the study of chemistry. Those physical laws that Newton discovered, that Einstein discovered, and they seem to be immutable. As we read in another Mezmor Tehillim, Chok Velo Yavor, it is a law that cannot be overridden, cannot be abridged, and cannot be transgressed, except by the writer of the laws. And that is the Ribono Shel Olam. So whatever the laws were of nature, God shattered them at Yitziat Mitzrayim. And when Am Yisrael saw this, and saw the enemy, Paro, who assumed the position that he is a god, drowning in the sea, they came to the conclusion, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Leolam Va'ed. He is king, he was king, and he will reign forevermore. Af tikon tevel baltimot. Though he overrode natural law, he established the universe in such a way that it would not collapse. So he would break the laws of nature, but not allow the universe to implode upon itself. Short of complete destruction, he stopped it. At that point, Nachon Kis'acha Me'az, your throne was then established. And the question then is, Me'az, from then, from when? To some, it's from the time of creation. When the Ribono Shel Olam said, Yehi Or, let there be light. To others, it's Me'az, from the time that we said, as, for it says, Az Yashir Moshe uvenei Yisrael et Hashira Hazot. Then Moshe, and in his wake, all Israel sang this song. Ashira la Hashem ki ga'o ga'a. You see that word ge'ut? Sus ve'ochvo rama bayam. Ozi ve'zimrat ya. Vayhili Lishua. The words Oz and the word Geut appear in Shmot in the 15th chapter in the song on the Red Sea, the one that we sang on the seventh night of Pesach when the Red Sea split and we crossed it. I want you to see some of these parallels, and interestingly, some of these words appear nowhere else. Hashem Malach. And in that poem, not in this order, It says, Hashem yimloch leolam vaed. For Hashem ruled, he is king, he was king, and he will continue to be king forevermore. Geut lavesh. He is cloaked and dressed, and that means he manifests himself. He shows himself in his ability to override natural law. Ashira la Hashem, I will sing to God. Ki ga'o ga'a. For he rose up higher and higher than natural law. Lavash Hashem oz hitazar. God dressed himself and girded himself with oz. And that word oz, ozi, he's my strength. But it is also natural law. Vezimratka vayhili lishua. And despite natural law, he became my salvation. That strength is when he manifested it himself as Hashem Ish Milchama, a man of war. Nehalta be'ozcha. And with that strength, you led us El Nevei Kodshecha, to your holy oasis, meaning Eretz Yisrael. Af Tikon Tevel, you established the universe. And it tells us here, Tivyemo v'titeemo behar nachalatcha machon, that same root, Tikon, machon. Machon l'shiftecha, Mikdash Adoshem konenu yadecha. You brought your people and planted them near the mountain of your inheritance, the place you established as your home. Kiveyochol, the Rebbeinu Shlalom needed a home down here amongst us. You made a sanctuary that your own hands established. The rest of this mizmor bids us, begs us, listen, see the imagery. Nas'u neharot Hashem. The rivers, the streams of water rose up. Nas'u neharot kolam. They rose up with their sound, and you can almost hear the rushing of the rapids. Yis'u neharot dochyam. And as they raise up everything that's at the bottom. You can almost see the whirlpools roiling. I want to point out to you that the word neharot, while it is often used to indicate a river, it does not necessarily mean a river. It is used in the book of Yonah to indicate what we would think of as a stream, and you know that there are streams in the oceans as well. A rush of water, this current that sweeps everything along with it, even from the very bottom of the ocean, Dochyam, those that are down below, those that are the oppressed. You had them lifting up your people. Three times we repeat the word Nas'u in variations. Nas'u neharot Hashem. Nas'u neharot kolam. Yis'u neharot dochyam. Past tense, future tense. The rivers rise, these streams of waters go up, up, up. They raise their voice, and you can almost hear the crashing of the waves. And they will raise up what's at the bottom of the streams, what's at the bottom of the seas. That repetition creates a sense of crescendo. I want you to imagine what a surfer would see. As the waves begin to rise higher and higher and higher until they crash against the shore. Mikolot mayim rabim, from the sounds of great waters. Adirim mishbireyam, more forceful, more powerful than the crashing waves of the sea. Adir Bamarom Hashem, is the force, the power of God on high. On the surface, what we are hearing is the sounds and sights of a hurricane beginning at the heart of the ocean, coming towards land, and threatening to drown all that human beings have created. And out of those sounds, mikolot ma'im rabim, one gets a glimpse, if you like, of the God on high who seems to be marshaling those forces of nature. Apparently then, we can see, if you like, a glimpse of the Ribbono Shel Olam's force and power through the forces of nature, and in this case, water. But there's perhaps another allusion in all of this. It brings to mind that at the beginning of creation, we were told, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. And in the second verse, you're told, Ve-ha-aretz hayta tohu vavohu ve-choshech al pnei tehom ve-ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha-mayim. In the very beginning, the earth was covered with water. There was darkness and chaos, and over the water hovered the Spirit of God. It was only when God commanded the waters to recede did the waters allow the earth itself to be revealed. In Kabbalistic thought, earth is this place where God wanted to impose moral law, whereas in the waters, the Ribbono Shel Olam allows blind, amoral forces of nature. In the seas, power makes right. Big eat little. There is no consideration of who is weak, of who is righteous. The seas recognize none of that. They come and try as best they can to reassume primacy by taking over the land. Land, however, was created for man, and that David HaMelech told us elsewhere, Hashamayim Shamayim LaHashem, Veha'aretz Natan Livnei Adam. He gave earth for man, and on earth, Chesed was supposed to reign. Moral law about what's right and wrong, not about who is stronger or fittest to survive. However, when human beings begin to behave like fishes in the sea, where the big swallow the little, where there is no mercy, where only force matters, and the small get crushed under the big, then the earth loses its primacy and loses its right to stand free of the waters, and the waters can again crash and cover them. That's exactly what happened in the great deluge in the days of Noah. Kishichet kol basar et darko, for all flesh had corrupted their ways and were no different than the fish in the sea. It was a matter of what you could get away with, not what was right or wrong, not what was good or evil, and any discrimination thereof. And as a result, the waters could drown all living things on earth, except those that were put in the teva. In this case, what we're being warned of is that natural law, if it takes over earth, earth will destroy. But let's be careful and understand that natural law cannot override God. And therefore, more powerful than the great waters, louder than the crashing waves or the whoosh of any kind of typhoon is Adir Bamarom Hashem, is the Ribono Shel Olam Yudkei Vavkei, the Midas HaRachamim, that overrides Elokim, which stands for Teva. As a result, we have seen so far as follows. In Pasuk Aleph and Bet, God's manifestation in miracles, when we crowned him king. In Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, we saw the hand of God in the forces of nature. And now comes Pasuk He. Eidotecha ne'emanu me'od. Your witnesses, but Eidut is also the things that testify to your existence. It is nothing other than the Torah itself. You will remember this from the 19th Psalm, where we were told, Torat Hashem Temima, Eidut Hashem Ne'emana. God's testimony is more reliable than the things that we can observe with the eyes alone in nature, is the promises and the ethics and the values and the messages that come to us from the written law given to us by God Himself. We were witness to His voice that overrode the thunder, the lightning, the rushing water at Har Sinai. We are Jews because in our heart of hearts we have a memory, for we stood there at Har Sinai and heard God Himself speaking to us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. It is I am this God that took you out. And there we accepted His Torah. Says Harav Soloveitchik, when I daven, I speak to God. When I learn Torah, He speaks to me. I don't need to hear the forces of nature. I need to hear the still small voice that come between the lines when I learn Torah. Eidotecha, those voices, they testify to your existence, and they are more reliable, more faithful than anything that I can observe in nature, and more forceful than any miracle that happens to occur in history. Leveitecha Navakodesh. And more importantly, Am Yisrael once experienced in a palpable way that holiness when they stood at the Beit HaMikdash. One didn't need to believe at that point. One saw, one experienced that holiness. And what did they learn at that time? Hashem Le'orech Yamim. The Ribono Shel Olam will be around, will be here, all the way to the end of time and far beyond. He was there before creation, and He will be here after this world implodes. Le'acharei Yemot HaMashiach. Rashi chooses to interpret the middle scene of rivers rushing against the shore as imagery of nations that are coming to invade us. Nasu Neharot Hashem, oh my God, there is rivers of people, hordes of them, rushing at us. They raise their voice in battle. Their cry deafens us. Yis'u neharot dochyam. Oh my, they terrorize us. And then comes the secure message that greater than all of the invading armies, greater than all the crashing bombs that will come at us, is Adir Bamarom Hashem, is the force of God that protects us. Though there may be many casualties, it is because Hashem Le'orech Yamim, He promises that we too shall survive and prevail Le'orech Yamim, forever. To Sforno, verses 3 and 4 represent Armageddon, Milchemet Gog u'Magog, the final battle in which the nations of the world will attack Yerushalayim and the Jewish people to finally annihilate us. And at that point, all humanity will see that God is greater than all the forces, all the great empires, all the bombs and anything that they can throw at us. For He promised us, Edotecha, those promises occurred in the chapters of the blessings and the curses that foretold that at the end of time, those enemies would be vanquished and we would survive. So I refer you to the footnotes that I have here for you. Besides all of the comparisons to Shmot and Az Yashir, I wanted you to understand that Naharot is not only rivers, but as I told you from the book of Yonah, we know that it represents streams of water. So Yonah describes being cast into the ocean. Vatashlicheni mitzulai, you cast me down the leagues of water. Belevav yamim, in the hearts of the seas. Vinahar yesoveveni, and you can imagine the whirlpool that surrounds him, sucking him down. Kol mishberecha, all these crashing waves, vegalecha, alai avaru, describing all of the travails that befall him. I also wanted you to notice how Yeshayahu in the second chapter foretells what will happen at the end of Gog u'Magog. Be'acharit hayamim, in the latter days, nachon yiyeh har beit Hashem, the house of God will be established at the top of the mountain, a mountain that will be higher than all other mountains. Vinisa, and it will be lifted up over all hills. Venaharu elav kol hagoyim, and all of the nations will stream rushing towards it. Yavo kol basar, every flesh will come. Lihishtachavot lefanai, to bow before me, to submit before me, amar Hashem. If that's the case, then this mizmor declares like the previous one, Ve'ata marom le'olam Hashem. Through the ups and downs of our history, through the miracles and the dark times when it seemed like God was absent, You are there on high, pulling the strings, ensuring our survival, and ultimately will reveal yourself as overriding king, overriding both with chesed and emet, and with truth.